Welcome to Stay at Home, Mom, with your illustrious host, Leslie Goodgesell, mother to six beautiful daughters, wife to an amazingly hardworking and supportive husband, homeschooler, and homesteader in the making. Join me on this journey, this blessing of what motherhood looks like. Listen to the last controversial conversations with Carissa? Well, if you did, then you probably know that it stirred up all of the controversy. We had so many people commenting on so many different things, so many questions were asked, and I kind of want to touch on a little bit of all of that so everybody has a clear understanding. Welcome to this week's episode of Stay at Home, Mom. We're going to touch on some of the questions that I was asked and some of the concerns that people have brought up. I believe when Carissa and I were having our conversation, we were really good about explaining where our perspective was coming from. And I know it was like an hour and a half long or an hour and 40 minutes. It was a really long episode and I apologize for that. But when you're talking about controversial things, it's really difficult to keep it into like this tiny little minute amount of time because there's so many different aspects and so many different things that you need to cover. So what are the things that I want to touch on today? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I would like to talk about a few things that people brought up in conversation, whether it was commenting under the podcast or sending me direct messages or Carissa direct messages or even commenting on our different Instagram posts. Three things came up. One of those things was, is this really a salvation issue? I mean, that seems like a valid question to me. And the second one was, well, do you celebrate birthdays? Which for some reason is always a follow-up question when you talk about not celebrating holidays. And then the third one we'll get to. But I do want to touch on the first two right off the bat. The question, is this a salvation issue? Seems extremely valid to me. So if you're a believer, you believe in salvation, you believe that our Creator sent His only begotten Son to this earth to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. If you don't know a lot about Bible or theology or Bible history or anything like that, I'm going to do my best to summarize it for you. In the very beginning in Torah, it talks about how the earth and everything was created. Then it talks about how everything kind of took a turn for the worse when people decided that they knew better than their Creator. They didn't follow His instructions, and that caused a separation between them and their Creator. Now, why is this a problem? Shouldn't there be a separation between a deity and its creation? I don't think so. I don't think that's what He intended, because at the beginning of creation, He was actually walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, and they knew Him. They knew Him. They had a relationship with Him. It was something incredibly intimate, so intimate that when He walked back into the garden, He was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Where are you people? And they were like, well, you know, we were naked, so we covered ourselves up. And He's like, well, who even told you that? And instead of being like, yeah, I know you were, that's how I made you, and why did you allow yourself to be deceived? He asked them to like call themselves out, right? He asked them to be vulnerable with Him, but they didn't. They didn't do it. It's a really sad story, but it's the epitome of human nature, right? It's exactly who people tend to be. I say all that to explain that in this process of us being separated from our Creator, there needed to be a way to attempt to reconcile us. This is a lot of conversations. This is a lot of deep theology. Not going to go into it. The summation of it was that there was a hierarchy established. Sacrifices needed to be made to atone for the sins of the people. But all of that was supposed to be a foreshadowing of what was to come. So our Creator, holy and righteous and just as He is, wanted His creation to be close to Him, but He knew it needed to cost them something because they were willing to give it up. If it didn't cost them something, then it wasn't worth it to them, right? Adam and Eve just willingly gave up that relationship, that closeness, that intimacy, because they thought that they knew better. They thought that there was more that he wasn't giving them. They didn't trust him. Kind of like we do with our kids, there's consequences, right? There's repercussions to that. You know, if your kid goes out and takes your vehicle and then comes home and your vehicle's on empty and they didn't fill up the gas tank, you know, what's the likelihood that you're going to be like, yeah, you can go out and take the car again? Probably not real high, I'm thinking. I don't know, maybe it's just me. There are just natural consequences for the things that happen, and there are spiritual consequences for spiritual decisions that we make. So our Creator's Son died in place of those sacrifices, okay? If you're following with me, great. If you're not, I'm sorry. If you have questions, you can message me. So he was the ultimate sacrifice. And when he sacrificed himself, when he was actually on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He actually said it is fulfilled, which he wasn't talking about the law. And a lot of people get this confused. A lot of people believe that when he said that, he was talking about the law, the Torah was fulfilled, that it didn't need to be followed. It didn't need to be acknowledged, that there was a new covenant. There was a new thing. And I understand where that confusion's coming in, because there are places in the New Testament that talk about a new covenant. But that covenant did not erase like the Ten Commandments. So you talk to people about this and they're like, yeah, well, you don't have to do the feast and you don't have to follow the law and blah, 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 blah. But the Ten Commandments still stand. Well, why do the Ten Commandments still stand? Well, because he said to do that always. He said to do that forever. Okay. So if that's the measure that we're going to use, right, if we're going to measure things this way, then let's go back and find out what things did he tell us to do always and forever. Now, how does this make it a salvation issue? Because we're told that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Yeshua was the Son of the living Elohim, we will be saved unto eternal life, that we can spend eternity with our Creator. It doesn't stop there, though. This is the thing. People think, well, we're not going to discuss this thing because it's not a salvation issue, but it is a salvation issue in the sense that everything brings us back to our salvation. Salvation, just believing in who Yeshua was, doesn't save us. I'm going to tell you right now, Satan himself knows exactly who the Son of our Creator is. He was not questioning it. He did not doubt it. He was very clear and he tempted him. Knowing doesn't give us salvation. Confessing with our mouth that he is the Son of Elohim does not bring us salvation. That's not it. Because Satan himself can say, I know Yeshua is the Son of Yahweh. It does not give him eternal life with our Creator. It's not just believing. It's not just confessing. We also need to repent from the things that we've been doing, the ways that we've been going, the ways that we've been thinking, the things that we've done that brought us to the point where we realized that we actually needed a Savior, that we needed forgiveness of our sins. That is probably the most primary part of salvation. But if you're turning from something and you're turning to another thing, what does that look? What are you turning to? If you're going to let go of all of the old things that you know you were doing that were not glorifying him, that were not bringing you into his presence and closer to who he is, then what are you doing now to do the opposite of what you were doing before? It's a lifestyle. It's a choice. It's something that you continue to do. So this is something that I learned early on in my Christian walk. And if you've heard my testimony, you know I did not grow up in the church. I did not live a life that looked anything like it does now. I was very, very much doing my own thing and only focused on myself. So when I say this because I came from something completely different than what I'm doing now. And what I'm doing now isn't religion, it's a relationship. The best way I can equate this is with a marriage. When I married my husband, I said these vows that, you know, I will walk beside him. I will follow him wherever he goes. I will encourage him. I will be his helper. And he said those same exact things to me. We exchanged these vows telling one another that we believed in each other. We were there for each other. This is what we're going to do because we have a relationship and it means something to us. Well, that's exactly what we do when we confess with our mouths. We believe in our hearts that Yeshua is the Lord. And then we are confessing those things just like we do with our marriage vows. Now, I know in this day and age, a lot of people, they don't take their marriage vows very seriously. So I can understand how this seems difficult. But if you take your vows seriously, if you look at your spouse and you're like, I want to give you everything, and not that our spouses don't upset us and frustrate us and make us angry, because that happens too, but you never break your vow just because of an emotion or just because of a letdown or just because of a disagreement or a misunderstanding. You maintain that. You continue to work toward that. And that's what salvation is. You're continuing to work toward a better understanding of your Creator, a better understanding of your Savior, an understanding of His word and His heart and His intention, and His passion for His creation. That's what you're doing as you're walking out your salvation. So is it a salvation issue whether or not you celebrate the feasts or you celebrate Easter and Christmas? Yeah, I believe the short answer is yes, it is. Now, not in a legalistic way where you can say, well, if you celebrate the feast, that makes you saved. No, but also it doesn't make you saved just because you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, because there are so many other scriptures that say, and you have to do this. If you love me, you will obey my commands. You've seen what I've done. And if you listened to the last episode, you know that we went into an explanation of specific scriptures that point us back to Torah. Does it make us saved? No. Does it reveal our salvation? Yes. Is it an expression of our salvation? Absolutely. Our Savior's sacrifice is not null and void if we go back to Torah and we honor the things that Yahweh said to do for all generations. He did not say, do these things until my son comes. Do these things until the Messiah appears. Do these things until the Messiah dies and ascends into heaven. He never said that. There was no condition. He said, do this and remember this, follow this, write these things on the tablet of your heart and those of your children so it can be passed from generation to generation to generation. In my understanding, and I'm not going to say that I have all of the answers, but in my understanding, that means we absolutely walk out our salvation by following those things. It's not a religious act for me. I mean, I think it probably could be for some people. For me personally, it's not. I do these things because I love Yahweh. I do things for my husband that I wouldn't do for other people, you know? If he looks at me and he's like, I'm really craving ice cream, I will get in my car, drive all the way into town, go to the store, buy him some organic ice cream, and come home and give it to him. Now, if you're some stranger on the side of the road and you're like, ice cream sounds really good, I'm not going to get in my car and be like, let me go to town and let me get you some ice cream. I don't know who you are, right? I have this overwhelming desire to give my husband the best of who I am and to do things that I know please him. So if I'm willing to do that for my husband, I better be willing to do that for my Creator. Does that make sense? Does it give us salvation? No. Does it prove that we're walking out our salvation? Absolutely. My dedication to my husband is shown by those acts. My dedication to my Creator is shown by those acts. Now, the next question I got was, do you celebrate birthdays? Totally valid question, right? Because birthdays are not celebrated in Scripture. Not that I can recall ever reading. I don't really remember anything in the Hebrew Israelite line where that was a thing that they did. So is it wrong for us to celebrate birthdays? And some people will tell you yes. And like I said before, I'm not completely convinced that we're supposed to. When my 11-year-old asked me, I'm like, I don't know who made up birthdays. Maybe Satan, because we're celebrating ourselves. I have no idea. As of right now, our family still celebrates birthdays. Do I feel convicted about it currently? No, I don't. Is it something we're continuing to pray about? Absolutely. And my kids are acknowledging these things and seeing these things. And so we're praying about them together. Is this a thing that we should be doing as a family? And if I at any point feel like, no, this is wrong, we shouldn't do this, we'll stop. No questions asked. We'll just be like, okay, we will obey the calling and the leading of our Creator, no matter where He takes us. But the difference between a birthday and these false holidays is that I'm not pretending to celebrate a birthday in honor of my Creator. Does that make sense? I'm not taking the birth of my child and saying, oh, I'm celebrating Yahweh, and I'm celebrating Yeshua on this day because my child was birthed. I'm not trying to take it and say that I'm doing it for him. Now, if I was saying, you know, I believe we're supposed to celebrate birthdays because I believe that honors our creator, that would be wrong because it's not found in scripture. There's no biblical foundation for me to say that. Could I have a personal conviction that that's what it is? Yep. But if I don't have proof in the word, which is what we use as our standard, our measuring stick, like we go back to that and we're like, wait, does it say that in there? Well, if it doesn't, then I guess that's not what we do. If it does, then whoa, we've been doing something wrong. We need to fix that. So it's not that I am going and trying to do things that defy scripture. I'm trying to follow scripture to the best of my ability and my understanding, and also not pretend to do something just because, well, you know, if I celebrate my creator, it really doesn't matter what day I do it and how I do it. And that's where my argument comes in. It does matter. It may not matter to us. We may think it may not matter to him, but it does because he told us exactly how to love him and how to worship him and exactly what he expected of us. If we aren't able to even read that and meet his expectations, let me put it this way. If my husband, he's probably so sick of me using him as an example. If my husband were to tell me, I feel so loved when you make a meal and I come home from work and it's warm and ready for me to eat. And for 19 years, I never make that meal. It's never ready for him when he comes home to eat it. But I do make him a hot cocoa because I love him. I want to give him that hot cocoa. And he appreciates it because he loves me, but he doesn't ever feel fully loved because he told me exactly what he needed and I didn't meet that expectation. I didn't meet that need. I didn't show him in the way that he told me shows him love. So I am letting him down. I'm not really walking out and fulfilling my vow that I made to him, saying, I believe that you want the best for me and I'm going to support you in that in any way that I can. If I said, if I'm going to support you in any way that I can, then I better be listening to what he says makes him feel loved. And it's the same with my creator. I need to be listening to him to find out how he feels loved by me. No, if this is not your life's ambition, if this is not your life drive, I get it. Don't worry about it then. Just keep going and do your thing. For me and my house, this is how we live. This is how we make decisions. This is how we walk out our days. And it may seem difficult. It may seem overwhelming. For us, it's rewarding, peaceful, and exciting. We have a sense of fulfillment in our life, knowing that we are following deeply in our beliefs, but also willing to change what we've believed based on new understanding of scripture. So the last question is, have you always celebrated feasts? And I did answer this when Carissa and I talked. You know, we talked a lot about how we both did the false holidays before and how we kind of transitioned. And her transition looked totally different than mine. Mine was all about following the heart of our Father, knowing his heart and doing those things because I loved him and I want to please him. And it's not about a religious act to me. It's more about doing it his way. So what does it look like when we celebrate feasts? Well, we don't have to offer sacrifices anymore because when Yeshua was on the cross, that's what he symbolized. That is exactly what he was doing. He was being the ultimate sacrifice, so we never had to do that anymore. So when we celebrate Passover, we have a meal with lamb and bitter greens and flatbread because that's what it described in Torah that the Israelites did when they were in Egypt, they were commanded to do. They painted the doorposts and the lintel of their homes. And then when the angel came, he knew which houses to pass over, which is why it's called Passover. And so we don't sacrifice our own lamb on that night. We don't do an animal sacrifice, though, I mean, we will be eating our own sheep, right? So we will have our own lamb that we've raised on our own farm, but we don't do it in a sacrificial way, right? We do it for survival. We cook it, we prepare the things as it says in scripture, and then we sit down and we talk about the miracles that Yahweh had done in the Israelites' life at that time and why he wants us to remember it. For us, we are connecting the life of our Savior, Yeshua, and Torah on that night to say, hey, this is what he did. This is how this part was fulfilled. This is what his life means for us. And we are honoring our Creator by remembering these things in this way. We have communion, we have prayer, and then we eat this wonderful, delicious meal that we prepared ourselves. So for us, we aren't following Jewish rituals, where I know a lot of people who are Torah observant, they absolutely follow however the Jewish traditions go. That's what they do. We are firm believers in not following traditions of men, just sticking to scripture. Is there stuff we're missing? If there is, I fully believe that he's going to hold us accountable to that. And if I'm honestly seeking his heart and looking for ways to please him, he's going to show me, hey, I need you to do this different. And then I will change it completely. So those are the things that were brought up. Those are the questions that were asked. Those are the answers I wanted to give. And if you listened to the last controversial conversation, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And if you haven't, hop over and check that out. It was posted right before Easter. We actually didn't do it with the intention of stirring things up, but we did it with the intention of bringing greater understanding. So if you have other questions, if this didn't answer your question, you feel like your question might have been just like overlooked, please message me on Instagram, stayathomemomgoody, or you can reach out to me via email, stayathomemomgoody@outlook.com. I love getting emails. I love responding to people. I appreciate each and every one of you. And before I let you go, I need to remind you that we have a few affiliates that we work with. Rejuva Minerals, which is the makeup line that I've been using for over 10 years. It's the only one my girls use. Super high on the Think Dirty app, and they're EWG verified, which that means something to some people. It means something to me, but not everybody. We also have an affiliate with Kitsch, which is where we get our shampoo and conditioner bars. I have a beautiful satin pillowcase. They have all the hair accessories, all the super happy hair things, and it's a mom-owned company. You can also save a little extra if you type in the code Leslie15. Our last affiliate is Not Consumed Ministries, which has amazing Bible studies, Bible study supplements. So they have journals and games and all kinds of different things to encourage you in your study of scripture. They also have topical Bible studies, which my family has really enjoyed. So with all of that, I'm going to thank you again for joining me this week. I appreciate your time. I'm so glad that you were here. I pray that you love on your family, that you embrace them, that you hold them close, that you seek out your Creator, that you ask him to reveal your own heart to yourself so that you can pour it out before him and be filled by him. That you build your home with your own two hands and love this blessed life you've been given. We'll connect again next week.